benefit us all. Science Report, a feature of the American Institute of Physics.
It brought together the first critical mass of people whose efforts were aimed at designing a practical power-producing reactor. It served to broaden awareness of the potential of nuclear energy in those early days. It brought industry into the act. Many of those in the group were to move out and form the nucleus of later efforts within industry and at the national labs. The naval reactor program began to gain momentum, much of it furnished by Rickover himself. The Navy came to realize that a nuclear propulsion unit would be uniquely suited to submarine use, with potential for high-speed, long-range underwater capability. A nuclear submarine would be an entirely new weapon for the Navy. But perhaps more important for the nuclear industry, the program was an opportunity to develop a nuclear reactor to see what could be done without the need for competitive economics. The Westinghouse Atomic Power Division was formed in 1948 with its first manager, Charles H. Weaver, and two scientists in offices in the Investment Building downtown Pittsburgh. The contract with AEC was signed in December 1948. The group moved to Bettis Field in March 1949, when some 60 people set up metallurgy and chemistry labs in old airplane hangars. And then we have two photos of the Submarine Thermal Reactor Mark I and one of the USS Nautilus. The first task at hand was to determine which reactor technology to pursue, pressurized water or sodium cooled. At the time, the AEC was beginning construction of its materials testing reactor and the first experimental fast breeder, EBR-1. By 1950, both Westinghouse and General Electric had received contracts to build submarine propulsion reactors. General Electric had established its Knowles Atomic Power Laboratory, and the AEC established a new division, the Division of Reactor Development. The Submarine Thermal Reactor, STR Mark I, was a joint effort of the Naval Reactors Organization of the AEC, Argonne Laboratory, and the Bettis Group. Work on the project was carried out at an incredible pace. The list of what had to be studied was almost endless. Shielding calculations, backscatter from the ocean, instrumentation, how a reactor performed at high temperature. It was discovered that zirconium would be an excellent fuel cladding because it did not have a high capture cross-section for neutrons, but very few pounds of zirconium existed, and no adequate production facilities were available. So, under Naval Reactors Aegis, the Bettis team began to build a production plant for essentially pure crystal bar zirconium, the only form found to be corrosion resistant. By a round-the-clock effort, the first zirconium of unprecedented 99.9% purity was made on a quantity basis just 14 weeks after the project began. The prototype submarine reactor was built to size at the National Reactor Testing Station in Idaho and placed in a tank that was 50 feet wide and 40 feet deep and held 385,000 gallons of water. It went critical on March 30th, 1953, and reached full power on June 25th. Full power operation of the STR Mark I became another milestone for the nuclear industry, for several reasons. Bullet point. It was the prototype power-producing reactor designed for a specific use, the first operating power reactor that was not purely experimental. Bullet point. The STR project was the pattern for the government-industry partnership that has characterized subsequent development of naval nuclear power in the United States. But yeah, the STR Mark I was installed in a section of submarine hull that was built on dry land in Idaho, and then they built a tank so they could fill it with water. This is important for two reasons. One was so that no surprising effects would occur because of neutron backscatter from the surrounding seawater or anything like that. Basically, they needed to know what it would be like actually being in the ocean. The other reason was, by installing it all in a hull section, and, you know, if you can imagine easily building a prototype reactor in a sort of breadboard fashion with the parts all over a large hall so that they're all easily accessible and can be worked on and rearranged and that kind of thing. But Rickover said, no, that's not going to work. I need a power plant that will work inside a submarine, and so it's got to be maintainable. It's got to be something that the parts can be worked on, accessed, and so on, inside a submarine hull. So you have to figure out, before you build the thing, how to arrange it properly so that naval people in the field can actually use it. The record of the STR project is almost unbelievable. The project moved from basic concept through the formation of organizations, research and development work, the building of factories, and the manufacture of components, to reactor construction and power operation in less than 5 years. In December 1953, President Eisenhower made his dramatic Atoms for Peace announcement at the United Nations in New York, offering 20,000 kilograms